Tonight is the 13th session of our Das Tfila Shiurim, and it is Tuesday night, the 21st of Av. Okay, we are in Sefer Das Tfila on the Hora'ah Shvi'it, on the seventh of the different explanations of the word tefillah. Now, we're giving the shiur this week at a little bit of a strange time, admittedly. It's 7:30 to 8 o'clock, and for those of you who are going to Mincha at the right time, that's 7:45. So it's a little strange to miss, admittedly, to miss davening for a shiur on davening. So I apologize, I guess, to the wrong group. Everybody here is on. But I will have to apologize to those who were not able to make the shiur tonight. But starting next week, we are going to go to 8:30 p.m. This will outlast the Five Towns series, but we're going to continue this Amir Tzashem, at least for a while. We'll see what happens around the Yom Tovim. There are many, many interesting things to come in Sefer Devas Tefila, and we'll move next week to 8:30 p.m. on Tuesday nights. Next week's shiur, on the 18th, will be 18th of August, will be at the same website, same Zoom site, and then following that, we'll go back to my personal Zoom account. But next week it'll be 8:30.
Does it have the same Zoom ID information?
Next week will be the same Zoom ID information at 8:30. Yes.
Will there be the phone in as well?
There'll be everything in the new format once we switch that. But next week is 8:30. I only want to switch one thing at a time. You know, we humans are not good with change. So next week, we're just going to switch the time to 8:30. I'll send everything out for those of you who are on the various WhatsApp groups that follow my Tfila thoughts. And we're just going to go to 8:30.
But if you have a phone, you can hear you.
Yes, I hope so. I hope so. It should be the same thing. So next week will be 8:30 at the same Zoom link that we've been using for the last 6 weeks. The seventh Hora'ah we're going to finish today and actually move forward is that of hitbatlut. Hitbatlut, that tefillah, the lashon of tefillah, tafel, is that which falls down. We learn from a pasuk in Yechezkel. That part of the idea of tefillah is to be mevatel myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ba'avodah zu, he says in the middle of the page here, mikarev ha'adam et atzmo ve'et habriya kula, with this work, with this service, by davening, by recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's really in charge, by asking him for all of our needs, by recognizing that everything around us is not as real as it seems, but we've been put here for a mission, and the world is controlled really by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we bring ourselves and the entire world, this almost sounds like a Rav Kook thing to say, et hadam et atzmo ve'et habriyakula, the entire world, hanitleit b'inyan komato v'hanifelet b'ma'asav, everything which is dependent on people. Everything's here because of us. Right? The world doesn't have a separate existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for people, and it's all dependent upon us. By us recognizing that everything that's here, everything we see, is really just part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world and that he's in charge, we bring everything closer to him. In other words, the world as it seems, the physical world, seems to be very far and distant. And probably the best word is separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way the world appears, there is a reality that's outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It looks like things exist on themselves. It looks like things happen by themselves. And the reality is that really it's all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And really he's in control of everything. If things happen that we imagine would be against God's will, it's because he allows them. That's part of the way he wants to run the world, by giving us a certain amount of Bechira Chafshas. Habriya kula shava Leshorsha. Everything goes back to its source. Everything goes back to its source by being related again. We say, no, there is no separate reality. Right? What's the other thing that accomplishes this? What else? Well, actually, two other things. What are two other things? Anybody want to take a guess that accomplish this, of bringing things back to their source, of recognizing that he's at the core of everything?
Water?
Well, yes, but in a deeper way, but in a more simple way. Two mitzvot that really bring everything back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and show that the physical world, the world that we live in, is only telling a very small part of the story. Okay, Shemitah, and I'll connect Shemitah to Shabbos, but yes, Shemitah and Shabbos, Shabbat Haaretz, right? The times when we willingly throw up our hands and allow the world to function as it is and say, it's not as real as it seems. Our success is not in our own hands. Shemitah is a type of Shabbos. It's called Shabbat Haaretz. So yes, Shemitah and Shabbos itself, that's sort of one kind of a thing we do by desisting, by stepping back from the world and saying, it's okay. And remember, we've said many times that the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi makes this beautiful comparison between tefillah and Shabbos. That tefillah is to the day what Shabbos is to the week. It's a moment that we step back and we say, you know, the world is not as real as it seems. We can stay. It looks like if we don't work on Shabbos, all is going to be lost. But you know what? There's something else going on here. It certainly looks like if we don't work during the Shemitah year, that our Parnassa is lost. But there's something else going on here. The other thing that emphasizes that, we mentioned this a little bit before, is the Korbanos, where we take the physical world and we burn it in front of him as if to say that this is really nothing. It's all smoke and mirrors. We too are just smoke. We too are not as real as we seem. There's only one thing that's real and permanent, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this axis of Karbanos, which we know is, of course, one of the bases of tefillah, and Shabbos, which is compared to tefillah, all of these things serve to bring things closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by kind of saying there's not that big separation that it seems. It looks like there's this whole functioning world outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we know it's not real. We know it's not true. V'kan no'atzim, he continues. Hold on. I have the thing up in front of you, but I see that the words did not go well, so I'm going to look at my sefer in front of me. V'kan no'atzim anu, sorry, v'kan no'atzim anu sof sugya zu dehora'at Hashem tefila b'tchilata. What is no'atzim? Ne'itza is to connect something, to stick something in. We're actually now going to connect the end of our discussion of the root of the word tefila with the origins, with the beginning of our discussion. Nitpa'er b'shem ha-kadmonim sha-tefila inyanat din u-mishpat. The first several explanations of Rav Rakovsky as to what the root of the word tefila were had to do with the word din, palal. Vaya'amod Pinchas, vaya'falel. Pinchas, in the incident at the end of Parshas Boloch, gets up and he vayefalels, he palels, he judges, he acts with judgment. Hit palel is to judge myself. Shehatfila inyana din umishpat. We started by saying that tfila has an aspect of din, has an aspect of judgment. We're judging ourselves, we're thinking about our priorities. We're standing in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu and asking to be judged favorably. Avodat ha-korbanot, amud ha-avodah, mishtayech l'midat ha-din. It's a very deep idea. The end of this section is very deep, that he says that the work of the korbanos, the service of the korbanos, connects to the midah of din. Din is not so much being judged. Din is reality. Din is things as they truly are, not as we'd love them to be. If you think of the opposite of din is what you deserve, right? Din is what should be happening. Chesed, which is often the opposite of din, is something we're hoping for, but it's not the truth, right? A chesed is something that goes beyond, perhaps, what is deserved. Midas harachamim, To have mercy on someone is specifically not to act as the truth would dictate. Karbanos are connected with din. Why are karbanos connected with din? Because they represent this idea of hitbatlut. The idea that in reality, we are nothing standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It pains us to think of karbanos that way because we don't like to think of that. But the reality is that we're nothing. We're a korban in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, so to speak. We're nothing more than that. So therefore, karbanot are din, and tefillah is din. Sheha'avodah hi mitzad midas hadin, says the Maharal. Karbanos, the idea of karbanos, the idea of sacrifice, which seems to be an extreme type of worship. Sacrifice is blood. Sacrifice is giving up something. Sacrifice is about giving up one's life or making something disappear in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are not things that we relate to chesed, and those are not things that we relate to rachamim. That's all about din. That's all about din. Tachlis hayira shel ha'omed lifnei ha'melech hu hit bat lut. The ultimate fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to give up what? To give up myself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask us to give up our bodies, because then it's a kind of a one-time deal. But he does ask us to give up ourselves, our desires, our own ambitions. How does a person act as a korban? By saying, I'm now standing in front of something so much greater than I am. One of the very interesting explanations of why we start off the Shmona Esrei with three brachos of praise is because before we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our needs, we have to put ourselves almost in his shoes. We shouldn't be asking as a human being without an awareness of God and that this is God's world. Right? In other words, when I take my three steps forward, I'm just in my little everyday world. These things are important to me. Why are they important? Because I want them. I want them for me. I want them for my successes. I want them for my family. But when one is mevatel themselves, when one realizes I'm just a small piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's big world and big plan, I ask differently. It's interesting. I may ask for the same things, but I ask for them in terms of how I can use them to serve him, how I can use them to serve a greater good. The way I ask, what I ask. When I take those three steps forward, something has to happen to me. I have to be jarred. I have to be changed. And certainly when I've gotten through the first three brachos of the Shmona Esrei, I have to realize not only that I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that I'm nothing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, anything that I'm asking for is really part of his world, part of his plan, part of the way he's viewing it. It's almost as if, you know, we spoke about the fact that I'm supposed to go up, and one of the ways of focusing at the beginning of Shmona Esrei, we suggested this several times, is to imagine that I'm sort of going up in a plane through the clouds. And now I'm kind of looking down at the world. I'm standing next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a fascinating thing to try. If any of you haven't tried that yet, I encourage you, please try it. Imagine that as you're taking your three steps forward, I'm breaking through those dark clouds. Now I'm up above the clouds where it's always sunny. I'm standing next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I'm talking to him about the things going on below. But it's more than that. It's not just that my perspective has changed. It's that now I'm standing from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to not simply look at the world from a distance. I not only have to, as I'm asking Hashem for things, take a step back, and it's such a calming thing to take a distance from my everyday life and my everyday problems and to realize that I'm not alone and they're down there and it'll be okay. But part of that exercise is also to see the world the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the world, to be mevatel myself, to realize that I'm just part of something much bigger than me. And that's how din, karbanos, saying the world is not as it seems. I am not as I seem. I am not as, on the one hand, I'm very, very special. I get private time with the master of the world. But I get private time with the master of the world because I recognize that I'm nothing. I recognize that it's all really about him. That's what allows me to get close. Okay, it's a very deep and difficult idea, but it's a fascinating idea. It's a fascinating idea. Using hitbatlut to change the way that I view the things going on around me, changing the way that I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing how small I am. The fear that I have of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Shamayim. The awe and fear that I have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of recognizing the difference between me and him. Yira comes from distance. Yira comes from distance, from recognizing that distance, from recognizing. And once I recognize that, I can ironically get very close, can ironically be there. And then he says one other thing. Amnam ein lirot behispat luzu bitui lemida sayira bovad. The final thing he says is, in this small section, is that one shouldn't see in this hitbatlus losing oneself, giving up on oneself in a certain sense, making less of oneself is not simply an act of fear. Midas ha'ava shehi ashoresh l'ratzon ha'tahor. Midas ha'ava, he explains, loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also the willingness to give up myself and to become part of him. What he says here is very, very deep and fascinating. Again, through Yira, by being in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by recognizing how great he is, I say, I am nothing. I'm nothing. I'm Mevatel myself. What does it matter? But there's something else in the world that makes me be Mevatel myself, and that's the love that I have for something or for someone else. That's the other force that gets me to compromise, that gets me to say what I want is not really important. It's fascinating. Think about that. Fear and love, both, he say, both of these things lead us to putting our own needs aside. One, because our own needs become ridiculous. Our own needs totally can't matter in the face of something so awesome. And the second, because I realize that I want the same things. Or my love for him is so great that it's okay if I give up my own desires, my own ways of thinking about things. Shehi ashorish l'ratzon ha'tahor, l'davka bo yisparach, tachlis ramamusa, Mesirat HaNefesh El Hashem. Mesirat HaNefesh. What does it mean, Mesirat HaNefesh? Why am I Moser Nefesh for Hashem? Out of fear for Hashem? Not really. A person doesn't give up their life out of fear for Hashem. A person gives up their life out of love for Hashem. Because they love him more than they love their own lives. The idea of Mesiras HaNefesh, what is Mesiras HaNefesh? We usually call Mesiras Nefesh technically giving up one's life, but it doesn't mean giving up one's life. It means giving up their own separate existence in a full way. It's not my own desires. It's not my own values. Kisufei HaNefesh Heim Ad Kalot. The desire of the soul to get close to Hashem is up to the point that it doesn't want to exist anymore. Teshukat v'tzimaon ha-neshama, the desire and the hunger of the neshama, he l'dvekut v'tachlis ad bitul kiyam mitziyoso b'nifredes mito yisbar. I want to be with Hashem so badly. What keeps me from being with Hashem? My body, my desires, the things that don't seem so godly about me. So ironically, Yira and Ava, and again, this is not the way most of his Sefer works. This is one of the deepest sections of this, certainly of the introduction. that Yira and Ava can both lead to hitbatlut, to being willing to give up oneself for something greater or someone that we love. Ava gematria echad. Ava gematria echad. Now, if I haven't given you a great Sheva Brachos Vort in this last year of this series, I don't know what I gave you, but there you go. Ava is gematria echad, because that's what Ava does. That's what Ava does. Ava allows you to give up on yourself to be able to compromise with another. And I would say, I'll take a little detour from the Sefer for just a moment. It's one of the things that, and I explain this to young couples, it's one of the things that romantic love does. What's this idea of romantic love? What's the idea of romantic love between a couple? It's a reality. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put that into the Bria? This idea of couples just being, you know, sometimes you run into a couple and they're just head over shoulder. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're just, right? And you're almost laughing. Like, what's the purpose of that in God's world, of creating that? The answer is, romantic love allows the couple to overcome their own natural selfishness. Their own natural selfishness. To take two people, even if one is living with a family, even if one is living with a parent, they're essentially living their own life. There may be rules, there may be things they got to follow, they got to fit in, they got to do chores, but at the end of the day, they're living their own life and their own existence. What would allow a person to let someone else get in the way of that? Why would a person allow it? The difference between the day before one gets married within a frum situation and the day after gets one's married, it's a completely different reality. It's almost impossible to imagine. What does it mean to really live at the side and one life with another person? What would get a couple to sacrifice their independence? What would get a person to sacrifice their sense of self in order to be with another? That's the purpose. That's where romantic love comes in. Romantic love should continue throughout a couple's life. And they should, and there are many couples who have married for a long time, and they still have a sense of that. But that crush, that early something, is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that allows couples, allows a man and a woman to take the leap from being a separate entity to being echad. That's what Ava is. Doesn't mean Ava is echad. That's not what the Gematria tells us. Ava is something that's created that allows us to sacrifice what we want because we have this incredibly strong feeling for another. It's a very, very powerful idea. And the Rambam, of course, writes that the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be, the Rambam writes, almost kimati, writes, like a teenage crush. Like a teenage crush. You should be writing, instead of whatever her name is on your notebook, you should be writing B'siyata D'shmaya. Right? You should be inviting Yudke Vavke. I don't think most people do this, but you should write this on your notebook. It's kind of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to give up on ourselves. V'kach sh'aninu b'sifri, and this is what it says in the Medrash Halacha, v'ein ava b'makum yira, v'yira b'makum ava, ela b'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu bilvad. V'eschanan Hashem. Mis'achdus hein b'midos, elu ba'olamah shel tefillah l'tachlis achas. You're not going to find such love and fear functioning in the same place except with relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Except with relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the power of what we can have in tefillah. Mis'achdus hein midos elu ba'olamah shel tefillah l'tachlis achas v'hi hitbatluto zu shel hamitpalel l'ratzon baro. The purpose of tefillah is to bring together all of our fear of God, all of our love of God, to stand before Him, to recognize on the one hand that I'm nothing before Him, to recognize on the other hand that I can't believe He gives me the opportunity to speak with Him, and He does so many things for me in my life, with one goal. To say it's not about me. Hitbatlu zushalam itbalel ratzon boro, to the will of his creator. Again, The sacrifice I'm making is not a sacrifice of my body, but it's a sacrifice of will to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? That's tonight's shiur. We finished the seventh of his different interpretations. Some of you may have missed the first couple. All the first couple had to do with this idea of din, of judging myself, of standing before him in din. And all of these seven things are all part of tefillah. One of the most difficult things to do with tefillah is not to spend time thinking about tefillah when I'm davening. The first stage is I don't think about anything. I think about whatever's going on. Then the problem is you have seven different interpretations of what tefillah is. Seven. So by the time I finish thinking about all seven, I'm done with the Shemoneh Esrei. I haven't even thought about any of the words that I said. One of the things that I'd encourage you as you learn more about tefillah is to find things that really speak to you and resonate with you. Every good tefillah tip cannot be incorporated in every Shemoneh Esrei. There'll be times in your life when if you're familiar and you review your notes and you review Svarim and you review your thoughts about tefillah, that you'll have it in front of you. You'll have things to call on when it's a difficult day. You'll have pieces that you don't use every day. But there are certain pieces that for you will resonate. There are certain things you could try to do every Shemoneh Esrei. Find a few of those to be able to use on a regular basis in Shemoneh Esrei. Make it a habit so that you naturally do those things. Whether it's a particular thing you think about, it's a particular way that you stand. And again, we'll talk about these as we continue with the Shiurim and Amir Tzashem, the Tefillah thoughts on WhatsApp. Okay, so next
Rabbi,
week.
What is Yira? Is that awe or
is,
fear?
In this context, it means really awe. The lower level of Yira is just fear, but in this context, it really means awe.
What Sefer is this?
Thank you.
This is the Sefer Da'as Tefillah, which is from Rabbi Ehud Rakovsky, lives in Bayit Vegan. Needs a refuah shlema, but he's in Bayit Vegan now. Okay, so next week, Rabosai, we're going to go to 8:30 p.m., and that'll be for the coming week's 8:30. Next week, we're going to use the same Zoom link with the same password of summer 2020, but we're going to move to 8:30 p.m. so that I could have a mincha or the minyan, if that's okay.
Thank you, Rabbi. God bless you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
How much longer do you plan to do this year?
You know, potentially till we run out of stuff. It's about a 600-page sefer, so right now we're not going to run out of material so fast. But let's see.
What was the name of the sefer again?
It's Sefer Da'as Tefillah.
Oh, okay.
That's the sefer, and there's so much more to learn from him in this sefer that's coming up. Okay, have a good night, everybody.
You too, Rabbi. God bless.